Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, wherever you happen to be right now, wherever you're traveling, whatever you're doing, we're so grateful to have you tune in. Today, we're going to be focusing on the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of Matthew as the Pharisees and the Herodians and the scribes try to trick and test Jesus as he teaches on the Temple Mount. But before we get to that, I invite you just to center your heart and mind and allow your spirit to be prepared for the word that is offered to you as we listen to our morning's anthem.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord. Precious Lord, you're the one that I build my life on. You're my rock, you're my hope, you are my song. You picked me up and made me strong when my way, when it was wrong. Here's my hand, precious Lord, now lead me home. When my way grows dream, precious Lord, linger near. When my
So as I mentioned, we are looking in the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus has been teaching on the Temple Mount, and he's being challenged by the religious authorities, who I think are probably a little unsettled that this country preacher from the region of Galilee in the north has started to really draw a following there on the Temple Mount. And so in the 15th verse, we read, "Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, 'Teacher, we know that you're sincere and that you teach the ways of God in accordance with truth and show no deference to anyone, for you do not regard people with partiality. So tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?' But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, 'Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me a coin used for the tax.' And they brought Jesus a denarius. Then he said to them, 'Whose head is this, and whose title on the coin?' They answered, 'The emperor's.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and give to God the things that are God's. When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. But that same day, some Sadducees came to Jesus, saying that there is no resurrection. And they asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies childless, his brother shall marry the widow and raise up children to his brother. Now there were seven brothers among us. The first married and died childless, leaving the widow to his brother. The second did the same, so also the third, down to the seventh. Last of all, the woman herself died. In the resurrection, then, whose wife of the seven will she be? For all of them had married her." Jesus answered them, saying, "You are wrong. You are wrong because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but they are like the angels in heaven. And as for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was said to you by God? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is God not of the dead, but of the living." When the crowd heard it, they were astounded at his teaching. The word of God for the people of God. Let's just take a moment and pray together. Lord God, we thank you for the witness of Scripture. We thank you for the revelation that can occur for us when we bend our hearts and minds to your word. So you just pray that there might be a word for us today. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we have new members joining our church again, and it's always wonderful. And I love that we get to hear the baptismal vows that our new members take. They're the vows that we've taken. I also love standing and reciting the church covenant, that Salem covenant back in 1629. I mean, we've been saying that covenant for a long time, that we bind ourselves to one another, that we might walk together in the Lord's ways. And I also love that the vows that are spoken, the responses are, you know, "I do" or "I will" with the help of God, as we promise to be faithful, to follow Jesus, to learn, to grow. And I think it's just important to renew and remember those vows from time to time, particularly for those of us who have been people of faith for quite some time. You know, I've been a person of faith from as early an age as I can remember. Faith, prayer, scripture, a sense of the presence of God have always been a part of my life. And I know much of that experience has to do with the teaching, the instruction, the example of my parents, and I'm so grateful to them. I also feel blessed to be a pastor. I feel blessed that my job is about sharing faith with others. But I want to just admit, and maybe you could admit this too, that while faith has always been central to my life, the practice of faith, the work of faith, the real commitment to follow the ways of Jesus has kind of ebbed and flowed at times in my life, particularly, and I know this is the case for many of us, particularly in college. You know, while I was always a person of prayer, I didn't actively participate in a church community until my senior year at Gettysburg. I remember every day passing the college chapel and feeling a bit guilty. Not guilty because I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing, but it was a sense that it was in Christian community where my soul would be most nourished. But I didn't feel like I could take the time to go in as all in on faith as I internally longed for. I mean, have you ever had that feeling? Even as a churchgoer, maybe today? You have a sense that faith fully lived out would somehow fill the empty and aching places in your life, but you can't quite imagine fitting regular faith practice into your busy schedule right now. You believe there are other matters and other relationships that require more focus and priority. You know, perhaps you say things like, you know, I'll go on a mission trip next year when I have more time. Or I'll be more financially supportive of the church and other organizations when I have more financial freedom, when I get the kids through college, perhaps. I'll be able to take some Christian ed classes when I finally retire. Have you ever said some version of that to yourself? We sense that delving into faith is actually our heart's deepest desire, but there are other matters we believe are more pressing at the moment. So we kind of put off getting more seriously engaged in our faith until a later date. You know, I think that's One of the reasons why pilgrimages are pilgrimages to the Holy Land, and I know that the land of Israel and Palestine are in our thoughts and prayers, and we are planning to go back this June. But one of the things that really allows people to have a deep faith experience, a soul-enlivening experience, is that we take an entire week just for faith. That's our primary focus. To read scripture, to pray together, to visit locations where Jesus walked. When you really dive in, something happens. Something, well, miraculous. Now, it's that question about being serious about faith that I'm drawn to think about when reading this interaction between Jesus and the Pharisees, the Herodians, and the Sadducees. Because instead of taking Jesus seriously, instead of really engaging with him, these religious leaders chose to play games. I mean, this passage of scripture we read is about testing and trickery, right? I mean, you get that. Jesus was a preacher from the backwater of Galilee, questionably educated, believed to be marginally informed, and totally and completely unaccredited, okay? Hence the questions in the previous chapter when the authorities asked Jesus, by what authority do you do these things? And who gave you this authority? I mean, everyone knows that big-time important preachers have big city ministries. It was true back in Jesus' time. It's true now. You couldn't expect much from a hick from Galilee. So Jesus was this nobody from the north who was drawing a fair amount of attention and, upsetting the delicate balance of order in the temple, without question. So the goal of the religious authorities was to swiftly discredit Jesus or effectively eliminate him altogether. Thus the games, the tricks, the testing. And you can hear it. Teacher, we know that you are sincere and that you teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Now, the calculation, and I know you know this, is that if Jesus said the Jews should pay taxes to the Romans using Roman money with Roman images on the money, that would be an offense that would possibly discredit Jesus in the eyes of his own people. However, if Jesus said taxes should not be paid, he could be arrested on the spot for undermining Roman authority. So as I said last week, Jesus is really caught on the Temple Mount between these two opposing forces. You know, it was a trick question, but Jesus successfully navigated it after looking at a Roman coin, right? Saying, give therefore to the emperor the things that are emperor, so give the coins to the emperor, and give to God the things that are God's, which means us, right? Now, later on that same day, the Sadducees tried to straight up challenge Jesus with a ridiculous religious riddle. If a woman's legally married to seven different men over a period of time, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? So Jesus was teaching on the Temple Mount, and all the professional religious people could think to do was to test him and try to trick him. They were playing at faith, if you will, playing games, instead of taking time and interest to learn what this rural preacher from Galilee was speaking about that had so enraptured people who'd not previously taken much interest in faith. I mean, how was this Jesus from Galilee able to capture the imaginations and change the lives of sinners, prostitutes, tax collectors, those who frankly were living lives far apart from faith? I mean, Jesus had this amazing ministry, was showing amazing results. I mean, if you're a person of faith, particularly a faith leader, wouldn't you want to know how he was doing it? And we know from scripture that some of the scribes and Pharisees were curious about Jesus, but most just wanted to quickly sweep him out of the way. Now, we may not try to test or trick Jesus, but the truth is, we often have more of a flirtation with faith than a deep commitment to it. We kind of play at faith, if you will, more than we are really committed to practicing it. Faith is something of a recreational activity for many of us. We'll participate, and we'll enjoy participating when we have the time and space for it in our lives, but when we're really busy, well, sorry, Lord, our schedules are just a bit too packed right now. I want to be clear, this is not a judgment in order to make folks feel guilty. It's just, it's a reality for many of us. There are times and seasons when faith takes a back seat, even, and this is the thing, even if we have a sense that Jesus in the driver's seat might lead us to our best and most meaningful life here and now and on into eternity. And that was one of Jesus's continual promises throughout all the Gospels, that his way of living would lead to an incredibly vital life for us in this world and beyond. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." That's who Jesus is, the way, the truth, and the life. He said additionally, "I came that you might have life and have it in abundance." Jesus was this great encourager that practicing love of God and love of neighbor was and is essential to a faithful and fulfilling life. Not something, it's too good to be put off to a later date. You don't put it off to a later date, nor merely is it a good activity to be dabbled in. But practicing our faith is that very source of goodness here and now and on into eternity. It's actually a joy. Living our faith, practicing our faith, is the way to joy. Now, Jesus confronted the tricks and tests by saying, and I love this, he says to the religious leaders, "You're wrong." And then he gives a reason why. "Because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God." The authorities who challenged Jesus, they knew the politics of faith, right? Inside and out. They understood temple power dynamics. They knew enough theology to play games and pit people one against another, but Jesus perceived that they did not know scripture, nor had they encountered or been encountered by the power of God. They played at faith. They were not really practicing the faith, and Jesus could see it. Because when God gets a hold of you, when you get caught up in the Spirit, you come alive. You become full of those fruits of the Spirit. You become full of love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. People can see faith in you. Those are the attributes, and that's the life that Jesus invites us into, and it is a great and joyous life. So why wait until a later date, right? Why wait until some later date? Why dabble in faith when you can decide to really commit? You know, that's the question I'm hoping we will take some time to grapple with. Because I think it's what you're longing for, whether you realize it or not. That ache or emptiness inside, that can only be filled or fulfilled by the presence of God. And we experience God's presence when we get serious about practicing our faith as a daily discipline. And it is that kind of daily practice that we're focused on. Now, today in worship, we have or will have people recommitting their lives to the life and way of Jesus. Our newest church family members will renew their vows to the Lord before God and all of us. And they're vows that most of us have taken, as I said earlier on, but perhaps we need to recommit to as well. For in those vows, we find the way to the life we long for, I think. And that first question, do you want to reorient your life and try the Jesus way instead of your own way? Do you want to do it? Second, will you commit to being a disciple? Will you commit to being a student, a learner? Will you choose to learn and grow and have your heart and mind changed through study and prayer and conversation? Will you demonstrate love? Will you work for justice for the well-being of others? Will you enlist in the work of the local church, worshiping regularly and helping out to help us all as we serve the community and the world? Those vows are about offering ourselves to the Lord. And what I love about the responses to many of those vows is the answer is, I do or I will, but then it says, with the help of God. I do or I will with the help of God. With the recognition that we need some assistance to make this all work and to make good on our vows. You know, when looking at the Roman coin with the image of the Roman emperor on it, and at the same time considering the people around him who were created in the image of God, Jesus' response to the trick question really was provocative and important. He said, as I mentioned before and we read earlier, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and give to God the things that are God." How do we make our way to the vital life we long for and the abundant life that Jesus is offering? Give ourselves over to the Lord, and not tomorrow, today. Make a daily offering of yourself to God. When you wake up in the morning, say out loud or pray silently, "Lord, this is the day you've made, and I give myself to you once again. Take my life, it is yours. Show me the work you want me to tend to, and help me on my way. Help me on your way." I mean, just make a daily offering of yourself to the Lord. Speak that intention out loud first thing in the morning. Now, how do we maintain a discipline like that over time? Because you know what? Life happens and we tend to forget. The Bible is really clear that we are in the remembrance business. And so how do we kind of get back on track when we fall away? Well, here's the thing. If Jesus is our living and resurrected Lord, as we proclaim him to be, if Jesus is truly alive, then he can help us on our way. He can assist us in maintaining our vows. He can lead us from a recreational faith to a life-fulfilling existence with the help of God. We just need to ask. See, the life you long for is available today. You don't have to wait until a more convenient time. And truth, a more convenient time never arrives. Today is the day the Lord has made. We have no idea what tomorrow will bring. So let's not play at faith anymore. Let's commit, and let's do it together as our church covenant suggests, and let's be willing to ask for help along the way. For there is joy in the journey, oh my word. There is joy to be found in Jesus. And that joy makes life complete and whole and holy and good. Let's pray together. Lord God, help us to remember. Help us to remember that we can ask for your guidance. We can ask for your assistance. We can ask for your presence in helping us live the life we long to live, a life full of love and joy and peace and patience and self-control, gentleness. Lord God, we need your assistance to keep on that track, even though it is the track we so desire to be on. For some time, Lord, many times our will just isn't strong enough. If will was strong enough, we would be able to live lives of uninterrupted faithfulness. But you know the sin that clings closely to us and prevents us to fully living into the life we want. So help us, Lord, help us. We invite you into our lives. Be our Lord and Savior, now and always. In Jesus' name, amen. So church family, that's it for another week. You are launched. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with kindness and give you peace now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org, or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.